All right, I'd like to read starting at verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Glory to God. All right, we're talking on this idea, kind of continuing with what we did with the faith refresher. We were talking about faith and the life of faith. And I just want to just led to continue with that because I saw there was such a need for us to use our faith. And we got things happening all around the world here, and we need to overcome these things. So this whole idea about faith and having a requirement, needing faith, is very, very important. Now, let's say a couple of things now just as to recap some things here. It says here that faith overcomes the world. So we, as people of God, need faith. And what we are talking about is that faith is a way of life. Faith is a way of life. In other words, it's just not a some kind of quick fix or some kind of little get-rich-quick thing, but it's actually a lifestyle, and that God wants us to live that lifestyle, that we're supposed to use our faith every day, exercising our faith for every single thing that we do in this life, and that Jesus, that we said, used his faith or demonstrated the use of faith all the way through his life. His mother even understood things that he would say or whatever would come to pass, because even at that wedding of Cana, here he was, and his mother came to him and said, "They have no wine." He says, "What is that to me?" And he says, "My hour is not yet come." And she turned to the servants and said, "Whatever he says to you, just do it." And so she had seen his faith. So the idea is that we're using our faith to produce heaven's atmosphere. In heaven, everything is in done. It's peaceful, it's prosperity, there's no sickness in heaven. So without faith, we could produce that same atmosphere here in this earth. Faith is not a gimmick. I use the term, "My name is Jimmy, I'll take all you gimme." And that's not the way faith works. Some people use faith just to get this. I'm going to use my faith to do this. I'm going to use faith. No. I understand that. But faith is not just to be used to try to get a house or try to get a car, but it's to be used in every aspect of life. That's my point. And we talk about that a little bit more here. So we talked about faith that takes, and that faith is a thing really that causes us to separate from the world. Faith is. And you can tell faith people because, one, they seem not to be embroiled in circumstances, that they seem to have a view that is out beyond where they are right now, and they begin to speak like it. Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead and made it possible now that you and I could have an inheritance, because he provided a will for us, the Bible we call the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that to be sure that nobody tampered with it, he rose to probate the will himself. He's at the right hand of the Father, making sure that you get what belongs to you. And faith is reaching out and taking what belongs to you. So faith is basically another definition of faith. Faith is merely using what belongs to you. Faith is merely using what belongs to you. Now, we'll do a little bit more with that in just a minute. So I have to reach out and take it. Now, I'm not taking it from God because he's already given it. What I'm doing is I have to take it because there are forces set up to try to prevent me from getting it. Satan had the enemy or had people living on Canaan's property. meaning that they had built houses and so forth and so on. But God told the children of Israel this, that's your land. I have given it to you. Now go in there and take it. All right? So that healing is yours. Go in there and take it. In other words, you don't need to pray to God about being healed. He's already healed you. All you got to do now is take it. Got it? So that's a mistake a lot of people make, and they put it in the wrong tense. God is going to heal me. Well, that's not scriptural. God has already healed you. All right, so now that everything is first physical was first a spiritual commodity. Everything that is now physical was first a spiritual commodity. And now if you get a hold of that and understand the seen and the unseen, faith will become real easy for you. Now that's one aspect. Also, if you get a hold of your understanding of righteousness, faith will become very easy for you. But in this, God is a spirit. And God, who is a spirit, made all natural things. He created all these things physically. Now, the idea about it is he doesn't have to depend on these things for his existence. They have to depend on him for their existence. The Bible talks about everything is held in place by the Word of God. Matter of fact, why don't you turn over there to Hebrews chapter 1, if you will. Hebrews chapter 1. All right, in Hebrews chapter 1, look what it said in verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the what? Word of his power. So everything he says, he holds together. And he does it by the power that's in his words. So God created all material things. Now this is important for you. So everything that is physical was once spiritual. Things that were physical was once spiritual. Let me take one more piece of paper right here because I want to show one other thing with you. Material things are dependent on spiritual things for their existence. Material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their existence. I know some of you think you know everything and this. But if you knew this, I think you'd be a lot further along many times than you are right now. Now let's get that again. Because here I just told you that God holds everything in place. In other words, if God seeks to exist, chaos would just go. Planets would run into each other and everything. So these things need someone spiritual, some spiritual things to keep them stable. And you and I need the spiritual thing to keep us in existence, because inside of you is you. You're in there. You know, that's the enemy's job. The enemy is trying to get you to forget you're in there. You know, to act like you're not in there and act like he tries to tempt your flesh to act, you know. That's a whole nother sermon. But so you're in there. So when a person goes home to be with the Lord, boom, or goes to be with the Lord, boom, they come up out of there. And what happens to this flesh? It just falls. Now, what do they do with it? They bury it, because pretty soon it's going to go back to the dust. And the reason why it does is because it needed you to keep it alive. Amen. You got what I'm saying? It needed you. You're real. And so the natural part of us needs the spiritual part of us to keep us existing. Got it? All right. So let's look at Jesus cursing the fig tree. So he cursed his fig tree. He spoke to it. All right, now let me show you. Let's turn to John 6, please. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. All right, look at verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what's the most what's the more powerful realm, the physical or the spiritual?
Spiritual.
Now the problem is that the enemy tries to talk people into staying in the flesh.
See?
So it's whoever can talk the loudest. Remember I told you about that prayer that time a man came in church, said he needed prayer, and a guy who was, the deacons were meeting there, and he said, well, I'll have Deacon Jones pray for you. He said, no, I don't want Deacon Jones, I want Deacon Brown to pray for me. He said, well, why not Deacon Jones? He said, because Deacon Brown's got some strong prayer. Well, Deacon Brown prayed loud. And so what people think is that if they hear a loud noise, then that's indicated more power. But the Spirit can stop a bullet. You got what I'm saying to you? The lights that are on have power. And the tendency is to not realize they got power because they're not making any noise. But if you take your hand and touch one of those wires back there, your hair will stand straight up on your head. Now, what's happening with that? Because that power is flowing, but because it's not making a lot of noise, the tendency is to think there's not a lot of power there. See. Let's go to somewhere else. Let's go to Luke's gospel. I think it's Luke chapter 5. Faith releases spiritual power. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. All their donkeys were parked outside, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power was present to heal them. Now, some of them might have had sickness or whatever have you, but you see no evidence that any of them got healed. See, the power was present. The power is present in here right now for your healing. But notice, God is so good, he just doesn't let this power loose without control. So hear the light up here, and once you see a spark taking place, what do you know? What probably is wrong with that light, that situation? There's a short. And notice the short is causing noise. But as long as it was flowing, you didn't have any noise. And people think because you're making noise, you're getting all the power. But you'll find that you can release the ability of God with very little effort. Lord, have mercy. What you need is faith. So faith provides the receiver, glory to God, for the power of God to be channeled through for its deliverance power. Faith provides that. Okay? Now, so here's this man, and I won't read on down there. It says that they came up, and that was a man that they brought, and this is the same story about they took him up on the housetop, tore open the roof, and let the man down in there, and the man got healed. But all of them, those doctors and, you know, so forth, they didn't get anything because they didn't provide a receiver for the power. Even though the power is present, if God just let that power go, man, it's worse than you standing behind a 747 on takeoff. You'd be a crisp. And so this, he doesn't do that because this is the same power that created the world. It'll fix anything that's broke, folks. All right? So one of the things we talked about, and I'm going to just say it one more time, that material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their existence. So here is Jesus speaking to a tree. Once he spoke to a tree and released faith, then what happened was he went on up, went to bed, came back the next day, and the tree had withered up. Now, the moment he spoke to it, it had transpired. And what he did is he believed what he said was going to come to pass. And that's the key for having the God kind of faith operating through you. You've got to believe. Now, what does believe mean? Believe means to wholly sell out to. It means to wholly sell out to. It means to commit to totally. You have committed to it. I said you have committed to it. Belief is a verb. Believe. It means it implies action. There is an action that took place. So there's an action. If you really believe, there's an action that took place. You can't say I believe and take a different action. You cannot say, I believe that God is my provider and I believe that, and then stay awake all night worrying about it. You can't believe because you got to have corresponding action, according to James chapter 2, with your believing. And if the corresponding action is there, you didn't believe. So what you got to do is let God be true and that every other symptom be a liar. And you've got to commit to that. You've got to stay with it. You've got to believe that that is so. I'm telling you, I believe that we have received money to be able to build this, to purchase this mall. But the enemy contested me. He took me to task. And that's what his job is, because he is called the God of this world. Let's go over there. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians, pardon me. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, remember what I said. According to John 14 and 30 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Satan is the ruler of this world. Jesus said it, and it said it over here in Apostle Paul's revelation. So Satan is, what is his job? His job is to promote the senses, is to get you emotional, see, and keep you occupied with what you feel and what you can see. That's his job. And if he can do that to you, he will put a ring in your nose and lead you around the world the rest of your life. Now, we will go to Abraham and see that Abraham considered not. Because you, as long as you walk in the senses, Satan will dictate the terms of your existence. As long as you do, you will be hung out, you'll be worried, you'll be wondering why things are not happening, so forth and so on. But that's all the senses talking to you. It's trying to convince you that faith won't work. And what you got to do is commit to it. And I'm telling you, that money wasn't there, and it was here. It was the next week. We had to come up with the money because the closing date had moved one time, and they told me, if you don't have the money this time, we're going to have to sell it to somebody else. We had gotten a good price, got the mall all the way down to $5.2 million, and so forth and so on. Oh, my goodness. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm under pressure like I've never seen. I called our, at that time, controller, Belinda. I said, Belinda, Belinda, this thing is, the lawyer's calling me. He's asking me, Pastor, where is the money? And I tell him, I believe you received. What is that? What are you talking about? Show me the money, Pastor. They want the money. Because it was embarrassing him. So I said, Belinda, what do I do with that thing? She said, Pastor, what is the Lord telling you? I said, the Lord told me if the money's not here by Monday, go to the bank. She said, the Lord, this is Friday. I guess it's Friday, yeah. She said, Pastor, I'm just hearing, just obey God. Man, that's a word of encouragement for me. I said, yeah, amen. I packed up my case and at work and went on home, got into bed, put the sheet over my head and everything and played sleep. You know what I mean? I mean, I had to have some corresponding action. I had to rest. Say amen to that. I had to rest because his job is to take away my faith. That's his job. I've got to fight the good fight of faith. I can't fight lawyers. I can't fight other people, realtors. I got to fight the good fight of faith. And Satan is trying to get me in my senses, keep me emotional, start me crying, all that kind of stuff. But none of that will deliver you. What will deliver you is faith. I went to the hospital one time, a lady called me, and I guess whatever her son had done, and her organs kind of shut down, and I went there, and they called me on the phone crying and so forth. So I came to the hospital. That was over here on First Avenue. And I came to the hospital, and the next thing you know, here's that sort of boy laying up. I mean, he had turned purple and green and everything else. Tubes were running down everywhere, bad shape. And she, oh, I mean, she saw him again. You know, oh, I said, hey, whoa, that ain't going to help us. I'd love to do that with you, but that ain't gonna help us right now. That is not gonna help us. I said, what you need to do is let's listen to the Holy Ghost. Get on that side of the bed. I said, now I'm gonna put my hand on this side of his head and you put your hand on that side. And I said, I'm gonna pray and you just agree with me. And that's what we did. 3 days later, he was up. Now I'm telling you, the same thing happened with my wife and I. And this guy that we prayed for, she put her hand on one side of his head. I put my hand on another. We prayed and agreed and so forth. Then the next thing I knew, I got a call. They said, Pastor. Now, he had a giant stroke and all this. Pastor, my cousin, he's out of the hospital. I said, what? He's out of the hospital. I said, where does he live? I'm going to go over and see him. I went over there to see him, and I rung the doorbell. Somebody answered the door. Hello? I said, are you Jake or whoever his name was? He said, yeah. I said, man. You couldn't even recognize me. Why? Let God be true. Let God be true. Folks, that's the kind of resolve we're going to have. Because in the last days, the enemy is trying to play games with your mind. And you need to get hip to it and get in this Bible and commit to letting God be true. Say, if God said it, that settled it. I'm going to go with this thing here. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to prove that this thing is either good or whatever have you, but I'm going to stand on this word. Say amen to this. So I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times we get in, well, I don't know whether it's the Lord's will. Yes, it is. Listen, Jesus paid for all of this. It's God's will to heal you. Come on. It's God's will when you're weak to give you strength. Psalm 27:1. It's God's will when you're in chaos and you don't know what to do. Romans 5:1 says he's given you peace. It's God's will whenever you're in trouble, he'll deliver you. It's God's will that whenever you're behind the eight ball, he's going to give you victory. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. I'm telling you right now, you don't need to ask God. You don't need to pray about it. God already gave you that inheritance. Now it's up to you to have the faith that takes. And the enemy is trying to talk you out of your inheritance. Amen to that. So that Bible says over in James, is anyone among you sick? Come on over there, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Devil is a liar. I love this stuff, I'm telling you. You see why we need faith? See, I believe that if we get our faith together, say amen to this, that those people that are undergoing all of that devastation and that nuclear reactor and stuff over in Japan, we can pray from here. That's what the centurion came into revelation of.
He said, listen, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, okay, I understand that. But I'm an army, I'm a military man, and I understand authority. And I understand you don't need to come to the house, because the boss that I serve doesn't even need to come out on the battlefield. He can just send the word and I'll do what he says. So I know you can send the word and my servant shall be healed. And I'm telling you, we can get in here in prayer on Friday night and do some damage to the devil, because it's the enemy that tries to bring destruction. Say amen to that. I know they said, well, those are the cool down is coming, look like this one is done, so forth and so on. We can turn that report around. Turn the next thing you know, all of a sudden, oh, we thought it was this, but look like it's turned around. Look like the rods now are coming out and y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh yeah. I mean, on Friday night, your cousin is out there on all that, you know, living like you used to live. Oh, we can get them delivered right up in here on Friday night. Say amen to that. I'm talking about tuition that's been held up. We can get it released on Friday night. Now, I want you to see this right up here. All right, look what it says. James chapter 5. Amen. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, the word save comes from the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It has to do with heal, deliver, whatever have you. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if it's been any sins, what'll happen? He'll be forgiven. Wow. Isn't that something? Now notice what would deliver him. The prayer of what? Faith. The prayer of faith is not begging God to do something. That's not faith. The prayer of faith has to agree with the word of God. And the word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. So the enemy wants to diminish your walk of faith. Now, faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. It didn't say who you have to hear it from. You can hear your own voice or you can hear me. And faith is coming. It's coming into you right now. He said in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be what? Healed. The effective, fervent prayer, come on, of a righteous man, come on, availeth much. That's the unique thing about righteousness. Righteousness doesn't need feelings, because righteousness know you got rights. I got rights to be healed. You know, I must have ate something or something. I couldn't figure it out. This was yesterday. We had a senior staff meeting and I ate it and just, I mean, halfway through that thing, I mean, my stomach, oh no. I said, what was wrong? What's wrong here? And I had to go to the restroom and so forth. And I said, man, what is happening here? And then it hung on me till about that night till I woke up. You know what I mean? Woke up. I'm talking about, I didn't go to bed. I woke up to the word. I said, wait a minute. Whoa. You got no right to put this on me. I said, I rebuke you. See, because the enemy's telling me, get on soup for a few days. That's what he's telling me. Oh, man, this morning I ate me some sausage and grits and oh, man, and got me some Mexican food. All right, now, my point to you is, Don't let the devil, you got to act on the word, man. You got to act on it. If you don't act on it, you don't believe. Does this make sense to you? Verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and the rain, it didn't rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I told you about when I went over to Uganda. They were telling me about a man, said, hey, this man, he's a powerful man of faith. I said, why is he so powerful? So that man used his faith and kept a light bulb burning for 17 and a half years. I said, I know that's right, Doc. Show me this man. Verse 18, and then he prayed again, the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth a fruit. Notice what he's doing. He is controlling nature with his faith. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17, because I really want to get this into you. Let me know when you get there. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of the Samarian Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Lord, have mercy. Now, let me tell y'all something. I want to say something here. Fear will contaminate faith. You got to get rid of that. And the enemy will try you. Just as quick as I told y'all that I used that word of God and stepped out on it, the enemy said, okay, he's going to come back down on you. I didn't answer it. But my point to you is, don't let fear seep back in, try me. Well, I know you got healed, but it's going to come back down on you. See? I know you got your marriage put back together, but it's not going to work. See, that's a voice you don't need to answer. Sometimes I'm up here and I'm preaching something and the baby start crying or something. I'm not going to stop the service. When I see that, see, because that's just like the enemy. He'll try to point out one person in the congregation to me that's sleeping. Just looking around, make sure. No, wait a minute. Why? To get me to leave the 99 and go after one. Let him sleep. I hope to have a good sleep. I'm going to still preach the word. Say amen to that. And I'm going to believe God, they'll get the tape. Are you following what I'm saying? They just get to take. They slept through the sermon. Just get to take. See what I'm saying? I'm saying faith always is positive. But you can tell when you've been listening to the wrong voice because you're going to start doing things like the world. Faith is designed to separate you from the world. You're going to do it just like the world does it. And that's what God wants to get us out of. Okay. All right, I'm almost done. Can y'all take a little bit more of this? Yes. Now, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, Jesus spoke this. It's in the rear. Now, and it came to pass. I like that. Because we have songs that talk about pass. Pass me not. Kumbaya. Come by here, Lord. come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord. Y'all see, y'all about to shout. Heal my wounded spirit, O Lord. Now, all that sounds beautiful, but it's unbelief. I've seen preachers that can preach about the kitchen cabinet. And people start, hey, man. And I went up in the cupboard, and the cupboard was bare. Some of it may rhyme, but it's wrong. And as a result of that, you listening to it long enough will impart unbelief into your system. And the Bible says in Mark 6, Jesus himself could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Now, I'm not trying to make any fun of anybody's stuff, but I'm going to tell you, folks, there are people that sit up under this stuff and they're full of unbelief. And now here comes an opportunity to use their faith. Something comes in their body, something comes in their finances, something comes at the job, something comes in their family, whatever have you, and there's no faith there. And the reason why their faith is not there is because God wasn't being made true. That what they heard wasn't from God. God didn't say nothing about pass me by. He said, I'm in you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, lo, I'm sending the Holy Ghost and he'll be with you forever. Say amen to this. Now, I'm saying you think these things are not significant or not important, but I'm telling you this. You focus on the wrong thing or hear the wrong thing, you'll have the wrong kind of faith. You won't have the faith that takes. You'll have the faith that waits. You're waiting for God to do something, and he's waiting on you. Faith does not look at circumstances. While we look not at the things that are what? Seen. But the things that are what? Not seen. It doesn't say that the sickness is not there. It says just don't look at it. That's all to me. I mean, don't pay attention to it. I mean, when somebody, you're looking at something on TV and somebody trying to get your attention, you don't pay attention to them. I'm just saying the same thing happened. Amen. Some of y'all in the house, the baby crying, and you know, somebody's over there with you said, hey, don't you hear that baby? Oh, yeah, but that, yeah, don't even pay no attention to that. And my point to you is, there are things in your life that you don't pay attention to. And that's what you got to do to this. Just don't pay attention to it. The Bible said it wasn't that it didn't exist. It's just that Abraham considered it not. All right, I'm almost done. And look what it says. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. He fell down on his face. On his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, here again, acting on the word of God. We walk by what? Faith. And if you substitute the word faith, you can put the word of God in there and it'll make the same sense. We walk by the word of God. So if you don't know what the word of God says, you can't walk by it. Somebody said, well, I got faith. I said, well, what scripture are you standing on? Well, praise the Lord. I don't know exactly what it is, but the Lord knows. Well, I know he knows. I know he knows. He the one that wrote it. But do you know? Because if you don't know, you really have no faith. If you have no faith, you have nothing really to expect. Okay? All right. Now, let me just finish this up. So, Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Lord have mercy. Boy, that's a strong verse right there. Were there not 10 cleansed? How many got cleansed? 10. How did Jesus know? He believed, come on, what he said was going to come to pass. He did his part. And look what it says here. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Thy faith has what? Made you whole. Last part I want to say here is, okay. So there are two kinds of faith. Hold on, let me just give you that. Oh, Jesus. Y'all don't know, I can talk about faith all night. Man, I can talk about faith all night. See, because we got, the Bible says in the last days, tribulation is going to come. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All right? Now, there are two main types of faith. Dominating faith and creative faith. All right? Dominating faith and creative faith. Can anybody give me an example of dominating faith? Okay. All right. Okay. Dominating faith is where I dominate what already is existing here. I dominate what already is existing here. Could I use this as an example? Peter walking on water. What was he dominating? Come on, gravity. He was dominating the law that God put in the earth. Gravity, okay? Walking in the earth. How about the storm raging? Jesus said, peace, be still. There was a great calm. Do you know what I'm saying? It's dominating whatever's here already. Okay. How about creative faith? What happens with that? Creative faith. All right. Let's look at John chapter 2. Let's just look at that. John chapter 2. Let me know if you're there. John chapter 2. Ushers, could you have him sit down, please? John chapter 2. All right. Now, y'all remember, wait a minute now. What I'm teaching, the devil don't like. This is designed to run devils away. This is designed for it. This is designed to take care of anything that the enemy has tried to do in your life. And make him cough it up. It's designed for it. Got it? So, here, they had a wedding. And in this wedding, they had nothing but water. Because they had drunk all the liquor, all the wine. No, they had wine, excuse me. I'm thinking about today. But notice what happened. Here they were. Glory to God. Look, I know, well, when I hit the devil's side of the head, boy, I can feel it. That's why I ask y'all before I preach it, can you take it? Because this stuff is good, man. And sometimes I like to slow it down. Let it marinate. Enemy can't stand it, I'm telling you. That's the power of it. The truth will drive out a lie. Because it's more powerful. And you got to be willing to let whatever is not true go. Let it go. You know, go tell it to sit in the car. Just tell that you'll be out there after a while. But just let it go, because I'm just giving you this. Faith will clean it out. The Bible says faith purifies. Okay, but anyway, let's just talk about creativeness, because you need to know this. Because people think for some reason that God can dominate things and have you dominate things, but they have a little problem with God creating things. And if you look in the Bible and really read it under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you'll see that a lot of people had creative miracles happen in their life. You know, they had parts of their bodies that weren't formed yet. You know how you'd be born without something or something? Jesus came in and created all that stuff. So the Word of God will create whatever is missing in your life. So they had water, and he said, they have no wine. He said, what is that to me? He said, well, he said, this is what you do. He said, now go out and just fill these water pots up and then take it and dip it and take it to the governor of the feast. And the governor tasted it and he's the water. By the time they got the water to his mouth, it had turned to wine. Amen. Notice, you got a little ways to travel, but you got to hold on to your faith. Because they could have stopped and sipped it halfway and said, this ain't nothing but the water. How just be, you know, but by the time they got there, it had turned to wine. Amen. Notice with the lepers, as they went, they were healed. I'm just saying, just start where you are with your faith. And say, Lord, I'm going to move on faith. I don't know how it's going to come out. I'm trusting you for this thing, but I'm going to step out on your word. And step out on your word. And as he went, folks, more than once, I can honestly say that I just only had the word. And as I went, things happened. Because I just trusted God. So turn to Romans chapter 3, please. Yes, indeed. Walk it out. Walk it out. Come on. You may not have all the tuition for school, but walk it out. Praise God. Go ahead and enroll and come on now and get your scripture that promises you that and walk that thing. Come on now. You may not see how the answer is going to happen on this situation, but just listen to God and start walking it out. Let's put it up there, please. Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. And he says this, much every way, chiefly because, keep going, next verse. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Keep going. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man be a liar. Folks, just look at that word. If what somebody said doesn't agree with the word, God says, let it be a liar and let him be true. Give the Lord a hand. That's all we have. Now, let me say something. I want to say this on behalf of the kingdom. From this day forward, I forbid you to fear anything. Anything. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I don't care how evil the report is. I don't care how crazy somebody's acting. I don't care what situation you find yourself in or how funny your money is. It makes no difference. From this day forward, I forbid you to fear. You will not fear any longer. I rebuke the spirit of fear off of your life and anybody that's listening to me over this video right here. In the name of Jesus, you will never fear again. The spirit and strong man of fear, I break off of your life in the name of Jesus. And I release the spirit of faith onto your life right now. You will never fear anything again. And it's going to change the way you think, the way you talk, the way you walk, the places you go, the benefits you have, the inheritance you can receive. Everything that is for you is coming to you now. There'll be no more fear. I said no fear. No fear of you being accepted or rejected. No fear of what you're going to say. No fear of how you're going to come out. No fear of the job not working out or the school grades not being what. No fear, no fear, no fear. You are not catching no cancer. No fear. You're not, come on, you're not going to fail. No fear. The enemy has used fear to try to trap you and make you think something, and that fear has overridden your faith and caused it to be contaminated and not work right. But those days are over. Your faith is working perfectly. Now speak the word only, and your servant shall be healed. Hey! Don't you fear laying hands on the sick, and don't go into no long prayer about it. Just lay hands on them and say, be healed. In the name of Jesus. That strong man of fear, I'm telling you, it's been all pervasive in the churches, especially in the cities. There's been fear, and people have done things out of fear, but those days are over. There'll be no fear. I said there'll be no fear. I forbid you to fear ever again in your life. I said, I don't care what pain hits your body, no fear. No fear. I'm talking about no fear. No fear of being rejected. No fear of growing old. No fear of being too young. No fear, come on, come on. No fear of somebody finding out something. No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear. No fear. Come on. No fear. Your days of fearing are over. Say amen to that. That strong man of fear, we have dealt with him tonight, and we're going to finish him on Friday night. We're going to finish him for the body of Christ. We're going to get fear out of the body of Christ. I'm telling you, I'm hearing it now. The enemy couldn't have put that on you because if you had faith, because fear was working. And he set up fear to break you down so that he could come into your life with something that God had never had for you. This is your inheritance. Your inheritance is prosperity, is health, is victory, is peace, is joy. That's all your inheritance. If you don't have some of your joy, then the devil's trying to steal your inheritance. You right now, no fear, and watch joy come back. Don't you try to get the joy, just get rid of the fear. And the joy will show up. I said the joy will show up. Some of you, you haven't had creative ideas because the fear has blocked the ideas. From now on, the ideas are going to flow. And they're going to flow like water. You're going to get ideas. Come on now. You're going to go to bed without the knowledge and wake up with it. See, I got to speak this thing here. Because when I speak it, I got faith that it's going to come to pass. Say, no fear here.
No fear here.
Take your seats. Woo, woo, woo. Now, there's anybody here that you need faith, but the first thing you know is that you need to be born again, because you can't operate in this kind of faith without being born again. So during this time, here's what I want. I'd like to pray for you. Same prayer they prayed for me that night. Brought me out of darkness.